for the word. Let's believe the Lord to do great things before this service is over in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Why don't we clap our hands once again to a great God? Great things have been happening. I'm going to have to ask you to work with me as best you can. My voice is absolutely trying to just leave me. So I've been eating those Halls throat lozenges or whatever you call them for like candy for the past day. So there it is. So if you hear my voice crack like that, that's what it's all about. But we've been having some great church. Great things been happening. We had just last Friday, we had Section 3 Youth Rally. And we had it in Huntersville. Brother Damon Peavy, the section director, gave me a call and probably about 2 months ago and asked if I would come up and preach. I said I would be ecstatic to do so. I'd be honored to do so. And as the service started, all of a sudden something just came into that place. The presence of God swept into that house. Young people began to be shaken in the spirit. By the time we got to the second song, there were individuals already making their way to the altar. By the time we got to the third song, the final song, there were young people already being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Before there could ever even be any preaching, already 6 young people filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I got to the pulpit and I told him, I said, you know, I don't get to say this everywhere I go, but it feels just like home in this house. Landmark, you don't realize sometimes just how blessed we are here in this place to feel the presence of God the way that we do. This Sunday morning, I was able to go right back to the same church and I was able to preach there in Huntersville. God did a mighty, mighty work. The altar's filled up. One individual, it was his first time being there, made his way down to the altar, and you couldn't hardly peel him away from the altar even after the service was coming to a close. The presence of God had swept into that place in such a powerful and strong way that people were receiving the Holy Ghost, and God did another great work. But I am so excited to be back home. Every time I get to be able to stand behind this pulpit, I don't take it for granted. Because God is doing a mighty work here at Landmark. Just looking around and standing in the middle of what we're standing in right now is enough to just have a reason to run the aisles. To think about where we have come from, to think about where we are headed rapidly, might I add. It's an exciting time. It's a great time to live for God. Amen? Amen, amen. I promise I will not be too long-winded because I feel as though that the Lord has already done an incredible work here in this place. The altar's filled up. I'm so excited about our young people, many heading out on AYC trips, and I believe wholeheartedly that they're going to come back changed. They will not be the same. They'll be challenged in their heart, and they'll be ready to reach a world. And I'm believing as well as several parents here in this house praying each and every single day that they begin to see the supernatural. I want to see young people lay hands on the sick and see them recover. I want to hear the stories when they come back of how they saw the blinded eyes opened up. I want to hear the stories when they come back about how wheelchairs were emptied. I want to hear the stories of people being baptized in the name of Jesus in rivers and creeks and streams and ponds. It is a year of revival, that is for sure. If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn quickly to 1 Peter. We'll start there. 1 Peter 5 and 8. I know I didn't give the sound team any of these scriptures, but 1 Peter 5 and 8. 1 Peter 5 and 8. Praying this morning, asking God what He would have me to preach to the church, have me to bring to the church. I felt the Spirit of God move upon me and I felt an encouragement. I felt a different touch from heaven, something I haven't felt in quite a while. Instead of a challenge to try and uplift, I felt or heard these simple words. Tell my people they're no longer victims, they're victors. I told someone that just a few moments ago when I was walking praying. I told him, I said, stop feeling as though you're a victim. Through God, all things are possible. If God be for us, who can be against us? Church, we're not a victim. We're the victor. It's the devil's big business to try to lie to you and make you think that, hey, you've come to a place in your life where you can't move forward, you can't go any further. But I'm here to tell you right now that God said it is time to recognize that we are the victor. Victory has already been won. First Peter 5:8 says this, says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may desire, or devour, excuse me, whom he may devour. There's an enemy out there, there's a devil out there that is trying to put on the front of something that's big, something that's scary, something that's capable of taking you out. But the Word of God says that he is like a roaring lion. He's not a lion. The devil's not anything to be scared of. When you come into this house and you begin to call upon the name of Jesus, the Word of God says that demons tremble at the very mention of his name. Do you realize that all you got to do to shake all of hell is begin to just simply say the wonderful name of Jesus Christ? Somebody try it. Somebody say it like you mean it. I said say it like you mean it. When you say the name of Jesus, all of a sudden the gates and the windows of heaven begin to open up and he pours out something upon his people that the devil cannot touch. I want to preach tonight for just the next few minutes. Like I said, I will not be very long. I want to preach for just the next few minutes. A title simply entitled this, just, let's go hunting. How about that? Let's go hunting. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Mighty God, I thank you, dear Jesus, for your sweet touch. I thank you, oh God, for your presence. Lord, I'm asking you right now, dear Jesus, to touch my body right now, dear Lord God. I'm asking you, Lord, to touch my lips right now, dear Jesus. Anoint my lips of clay, dear God, to speak your word, dear Jesus. God, I'm asking you to open the eyes, the hearts, dear Jesus, and the minds and the ears of your people, Lord, so that they can hear your word, but not only hear it, dear God, but be changed by it, oh God. In your mighty and wonderful name we pray, and everybody say amen. Amen. You can be seated. In a book authored by Lorraine Peterson titled, Anybody Can Be Cool, But Awesome Takes Practice, the title stated it all. It's easy to step outside the realm of supernatural commitment and dedication to become part of the casual crusaders of this world. Too many times the capability of spontaneous Christianity outweighs the fervency and desperate cry for commitment to dedicated Christianity. What I mean by that is this, I am cool until I'm counting on. Young people, it is easy to be like everyone, but awesome takes practice. You say, but I'm scared and I'm terrified of what the future may hold for me. And I'm nervous about school, knowing that there's worldly people. I'm nervous about my job, knowing that there's worldly people all around me on every corner. But let me tell you something, church. It's hard for your knees to knock when you're on them. Now, I know that we're already getting ready in the mindset of having a great time being out of school, but there will be a noon or soon time coming up where you will be gearing up and ready to go back to school. And right now, already, I am coming against the spirit of seclusion, and I'm introducing you to your solution. It's time to hunt. It's time to believe, and it's time to trust in God. How will we win them if we seclude ourselves around them? Now, I didn't mean to get into all this, but let's turn to 2 Samuel 23:18 through 22. 2 Samuel, again, I didn't give these scriptures to the sound men, so I'm going to give you a little bit of time, but 2 Samuel 23:18 through 22. 2 Samuel 23:18 through 22. And Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief among three. And he lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them and had the name among the three. We're talking about David's mighty men. Was he not most honorable of three? Therefore, he was their captain. Howbeit, he attained not unto the first three. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in the time of snow. And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man, and the Egyptian had a spear in his hand. But he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. These things did Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among three mighty men. I began to wonder what truly defined these men as being mighty men. But all around at that time, battles were being waged. All around at that specific time in the Word of God, battles were being won, battles were being lost, wars were being lost. And I'm sure that out of the hundreds of thousands of men that were fighting these battles, that there were more than just three men that had skill. But then I read this verse and I saw something so powerful. I saw the unintentional definition of a mighty man. The Bible says, Benaiah went down and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in time of snow. And all I can do is imagine many men walking past this pit, looking down and saying, oh wow, look, a lion. And then telling themselves he can't hurt anybody. He can't touch anybody. He's down there, so I'm not going to risk my own life. We're going to continue to walk by. Many, many mighty men walking to war, prepared, ready, skilled in battle, skilled in war, looking down and seeing this lion in this pit. But then one man all of a sudden came up next to the pit and decided that, hey, something needs to be done. Yes, it might be below the surface. Yes, it might be in an area right now to where it seems like it's not causing much harm. But a day will come and a time will come where it will be able to crawl out of that pit and it can hurt somebody. This man decided at that exact moment that I can't allow that. I can't allow someone to die. I can't allow someone to be affected. I can't allow someone to be hurt. So I'm going to go down to where it is and I'm going to destroy it. We've got to understand here tonight, Landmark, that even though some things might look minimal, even though some things might look small, even though some things might look as though they're in the pit and they can't touch you, you got to go ahead and kill that thing before it has the chance to take out your family, before it has the chance to take out your friends, before it has the chance to take out your children, before it has the chance to take out your wife, your husband. I'm here to tell you today that we need to go hunting. There was an unintentional definition of a mighty man that happened at that time. The defining moment of that mighty man was the very act in him stepping out of his comfort zone, was the very act in him stepping outside of what everybody else was doing. He stepped outside of line. He stepped outside of the proposed order of the time, and he stepped into the pit and decided that today is the day where that thing will be no more. You got to understand that if your family is under attack by what you might think is something small, you need to go ahead and take care of it now before that thing has the chance to grow up. You see, the devil places things in your life that may seem small right now, but one day it's going to grow. One day it's going to get big, and you've got to be the mighty man or the mighty woman or the mighty young person that God has called you to be. And if you're going to be a mighty man, you've got to step outside of the lines of order sometimes and take out what the enemy has tried to put upon you. I'm sick and tired of the enemy placing small things in the lives of families and it going completely disregarded and moms and dads not seeing what the enemy's trying to do and neglecting it and rejecting it. It's time to go ahead and pick up what God has put in your hand and go to war and recognize that today is my day. Today is the day of victory. Today is the day of salvation. If you're a mighty man, then go ahead and slay that dragon. If you're a mighty man, go ahead and slay that enemy. If you're a mighty man, and you can be victorious. He saw this lion in this pit. He saw this animal that at the time wasn't necessarily a threat. Many saw him. They walked by. They walked by, continued to move on in their own way. But then here comes not just one of the many, but rather one of the mighty. He recognized something. That in order to become one of the mighty, I can't be one of the many. I believe that if there's an attack that the enemy is waging on God's people in today's time, it is an attack of being a Christian chameleon. We step in the church and we know how to put our praise on because of where we are. But the moment the doors close and we step outside of the sanctuary, we go on our jobs, we know how to change and we know how to blend. We go to school, we know how to change and we know how to blend. But God is calling you out from being a Christian chameleon and telling you today is your time and today, right now, is your chance. Go ahead and put on the whole armor of God so that when you're out there, they see something different. You're not going to be mighty if you're one of the many, but you can be one of the mighty if you do what the Word of God says and come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord.
When we go into our schools, I want them to look at you. I want them to see you. And I want them to say something's different about that person. When we go on the job and someone walks by and they're feeling sick, I don't want to blend. I don't want to look like everybody else. I want to be the one that stands up and calls upon the name of Jesus and watches a miracle happen on the workplace. I want to be the one that when those that are sick and those that are lame pass by me in Walmart, that God quickens me in my spirit and that God quickens me in my soul to the point that I recognize it's time to be mighty. The mighty aren't weak. The mighty are not anemic. The mighty don't show up when everything's hunky-dory. The mighty don't quit when they get their feelings cut. The mighty don't stop when everybody else is stopping. That's why there were three. There were thousands of men that knew how to fight. And there were thousands of men that were armored with the full armor. But there was only three that knew how to fight when nobody else was fighting. You knew why, you know why there was one that killed hundreds? Because the others didn't. You know why there was one that was recognized? It's because the others weren't. I'm here today to tell you that there are more than three mighty men. There are more than three mighty women. There are more than three mighty young people. This house is full of mighty men and women and young people. If we would just begin to recognize that we have what God has given us. You have everything necessary to go to war, and you have everything necessary to win your family. But the one thing that you have to pray about, and the one thing that you're going to have to fight about, is when the adversary comes to you and tries to tell you, don't worry about it, it's a small thing. Don't worry about it, it's a little thing. You need to go ahead and jump up and say, you know what, devil? You might not be so big right now, but that don't matter to me. I'm not going to give you a chance to grow up. Oh, it's getting quiet now. I guess I'm preaching good. I said, we need to tell the enemy that I'm not going to give you a chance to grow up. Go ahead. Go ahead. You can call out your children. Go ahead. You can but. If you didn't take care of the situation while it was under the surface, it would have eventually raised to the surface and hurt many more. I received a phone call just the other day from a pastor, and he told me, he said, Brother Carson, I had a dream. I've got to share it with you. He said, in my dream, he said, I was walking down the road. He said, and all of a sudden, I heard something behind me. He said, I turned around, and there was three puppies. He said, they were adorable, cute little fluffy things, floppy ears, just walking behind me. He said, I looked at him. He said, my wife was standing beside me. He said, and immediately I began to think, oh my goodness, these things are precious. Oh my goodness, this is adorable. I got to take this home. I got to share this with my family. And then all of a sudden, he said, he recognized something. The closer he got to them, he realized they weren't ordinary puppies, but they were wolves. He said, as he stepped back and he took a closer look, he recognized that, hey, this is something that's going to be dangerous in the future. He said, and immediately he recognized that, hey, this is something that's got to be destroyed right now. And he said, in his dream, at the very exact moment that he decided this needs to be killed, this needs to be taken care of, he said, a sword formed in his hand. He said, and he began to attack one at a time. He said, the first one, he took him out. The second one, he killed him. He slew him. He said, but then when he got to the third one, he said, he reached to cut it. But when he cut it, that's all he did is he cut it. And he said, after he cut it, it jumped back. He said, and immediately it became full grown. He said, and it showed its teeth and its red eyes. And it began to snarl, and it began to bark, and it began to lunge. He said, and he realized that this is the only opportunity I got. And in his dream, one more swing, and he killed it. You see, sometimes we play with things and we say, oh, that's fine. That's just cute. That's just cuddly. That's just something they do because they're a kid. That's just something they do because they're a young person. I'm here to tell you that the enemy can come in the form of cute and cuddly. Oh, you're not hearing me. I said the enemy can come in the form of cute and cuddly and pretty and precious and okay and all right and fine. But that thing's going to grow up. And if you don't kill it, you need to hear me right now. You say, Brother Carson, I like what you said at the beginning. I'm the victor. I'm not the victim. I'm the victor. Yeah, you can be the victor if you know how to fight. You can be victorious if you know how to hunt. You can be victorious if you're not afraid or ashamed of the gospel. If you're not afraid of what God has put in your heart and put in your soul and put in His Word. One of the many, not one of the many, but rather one of the mighty. The definition of the mighty is not being part of the many.
when the word of God says, come out from among them and be ye separate, he was saying, be one of the mighty. If you think that the line you have made in your life is captive in your pit, then you are destined for disaster. I'm not trying to attack, I'm trying to defend. I've seen moms and dads jump in the pit and take on lines on behalf of their family. And I have seen victory rise time after time after time. But there is coming a time, young person, when mom and dad won't be able to fight your battle anymore. Are you equipped? Are you ready? Are you willing? Are you able to fight because you have been in the fight? Or are you going to have to learn and it's going to be too late? Come on, Hophni and Phinehas. Tell us how it went when you went to war without the Ark of the Covenant. And then you tried to come back while you were in the middle of war. It didn't work out too much. This is something that you got to carry with you 100% of the day, every hour of the day, all night long, when you're at school, when you're on the job. You can't just pick this up. You can't pick it up when it feels comfortable, and you can't pick it up when you're a little bit scared. You got to pick it up right here, right now, right today, and carry it for the rest of your life. Because there's coming a time, buddy, when mama ain't going to be able to lay hands on you no more. And there's coming a time, son, when dad's not going to be able to fast for you anymore. And it will be on you. I know I've been praying. I want to be the man. I want to be the dad. I want to be the father that when the enemy comes knocking on the door of my children, when the enemy comes knocking on the door of my home, that when I open the door, I don't just close it and say, nah, you're not going to come in here. I don't just open the door and shut it in his face, but rather I open the door and I put on the full armor of God and I go hunting. Because I tell you right now, I'd like to kill a lion. I'd like to kill a lion here in this house today. I'd like to take out a devil in this house here today, and I'd like to wage war on the enemy and all of hell, and begin to tell them that this is the house of God, and upon this rock. But not only is this church built upon this rock, my home will be built upon this rock. Your home will be built upon this rock. Your marriage will be built upon this rock. Your children will be raised upon this rock. Now I can say it till I'm blue in the face, but are you willing to jump to your feet and begin to say, Brother Carson, that's something I can do upon this rock. I wish everybody would understand exactly what I'm saying. Stop looking at the church to be your only place of safety. Stop looking at the pastor to be your only form of prayer. Go ahead. Make your home into a safe place. Make your home into a house of prayer. We are in the middle of a time to where the enemy is using his biggest guns. We're in the middle of a time where the enemy is throwing everything out that he can, because he knows that his days are numbered. He knows that we are coming to a close. We are coming to an end. And any time an enemy becomes fearful, they send out the big guns. Any time an enemy sees that the end is near, they send out the big guns. But the enemy's smart. The devil's smart. Like I said, I've seen moms and dads jump in the pit. But young person, the time will come when they won't be able to fight for you. But I want someone to understand here in this place today. Those of you that have been in the battle, those of you that have been in the fight for possibly a long, long time. And you have been looking to the future for your time of liberty. Let me go ahead and tell you right now that the wounds that you inflict upon the enemy are wounds that will not heal. The prayers that we pray, I'm speaking in the Holy Ghost right now, the prayers that we have been praying for our backsliders are prayers that are not going up in vain. There are prayers that are not falling by the wayside. Every single time we begin to cry out on behalf of family, every single time we begin to cry out on behalf of the backslidden, you're striking another scar, you're striking another wound on the enemy. And the time will come where that enemy will die and the back doors of this church will open, and all of a sudden you will begin to see an influx of people that we thought we'd never be here again. I'm here today to tell you it will all happen if you have a willingness to go hunting. But another thing I can tell you about the hunt is this. Any animal that you pursue, any animal that you inflict an injury upon, immediately becomes more dangerous. There's nothing more dangerous than a bear after he's been wounded. There's nothing more dangerous than an animal in the fight for his life. Because there's no lines. There's no boundaries. Just the willingness to survive. You got to understand that in your home, in your family, you got to learn not to just inflict wounds, but to kill that enemy. I'm trying to get across right now what I feel in the Holy Ghost, because I feel as though that the presence of God is in this place in such a strong way that he's trying to take someone to a different level, to a different place. We've got to understand that you can do more than just inflict injury. You can inflict permanent death. You say, well, Brother Carson, you telling me that I can get to the point in my prayer life, I can get to the point into the Holy Ghost that I can completely be without fear of what the enemy is going to be, is in the middle of trying to do with my kids? Yes, you can. You can get to a place to where when the enemy walks by your home and he looks at that front door, he understands, I better walk quietly and I better tread carefully, because just on the other side of that door is a hunter. Just on the other side of that door is someone who's not afraid. They're not ashamed. They're not inhibited. They're not stagnant. They're not casual. They're a true hunter. They know how to kill the lion. They know how to jump down in the pit and be victorious. I'm talking to mighty men. There are young people in this place that have been in the pit fighting for years now all by themselves. I want to say to those young people, I know it's not fear and not fair, and you shouldn't have to be defending salvation all by yourself, but know this, when you win. I didn't say if you win. I said when you win. When you win, you will be labeled one of the mighty. One of the mighty men. One of the mighty women. I wish someone would just worship God with me right now, because God is in the process of walking through the aisles of this sanctuary and he's challenging someone. Come on, you can be a mighty man. Come on, you can be a mighty woman. But again, I need you to understand wholeheartedly that the mighty men are not casual. The mighty men and women are not stagnant. The mighty men and women know how to stand when nobody's standing. The mighty men and women know how to shout when nobody's shouting. The mighty men and women can be counted on. They can be depended upon. That's why David only had three. He might have been able to call others, but they might have said, you know what, David, I'm a little bit busy today. Oh, you know what, David, I'm a little bit tied up today. I got a little bit of a head cold today, David. I just don't feel like going to war. But he knew that at any time he could call one of the three, and they would say, David, I got a sword sticking out of my side, but I'll remove it and let's go to war. I'm a little bit wounded. I'm a little bit hurt. I'm a little bit broken, but that's okay. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And they would go to war. I'm calling for whosoever will to pick up your sword and fight. The time of the casual crusaders is over. The time of the stagnant people are over. The time of those that say I might not is over. Today is the day where we go to war, because we have families that need to be saved. Benaiah could have walked by. And if he walked by, he would have lived, yes. But possibly someone that came behind him would have been mortally wounded. He recognized that he wasn't in it just for himself. As long as I'm safe, as long as I'm comfortable, as long as I'm okay, as long as everything's fine with me, that wasn't him. That wasn't a mighty man. Mighty man will say, this need to be taken care of because he's going to need it. I need to pray because this person's in need of it. I need to fast because this person's in need of it. I need to be there because they're looking for me. I need for them. Everybody say for them. When Jesus came, he died on that cross. When they drove that first nail in that hand and they drove that spike in that other hand, they pierced him in the side, and then they took that crown of thorns and they placed it upon his head. You know what? It wasn't comfortable, and it wasn't something nice, and it wasn't pretty. But you know what he did? He stayed so that you can stay. Angels stood on heaven's edge, and they, I believe with my whole heart, began to shout and say, you know what, Jesus? You say it and we'll open up the earth and they'll swallow them up. You call it. You say it and we'll come down and we'll destroy every single one of them. How dare they do that to you? They don't know who you are. They're not respecting you. How dare? And Jesus said, stand down. And he stayed so that you can stay.
He saw your battles. He saw your fear. He saw your regret. He saw your addictions. He saw your afflictions. He saw the times. He saw all the worries. He saw, and he said, you know what? I can stay in the fight because I want to show them they can stay in the fight. Go ahead and pick up that sword and go to war. I'm going to tell you something else right now. I want you to recognize. We've heard it here before at Landmark, but I want you to hear it again. When the Word of God talks about the whole armor of God, not one time did it mention something for the back. Not one time did it mention something for the back. You know why? Because when you're Holy Ghost filled and you're full of the power of God and the anointing of God, you're never going to turn your back on God's presence. You're never going to turn your back on the enemy. You're never going to turn your back on anything. You're always going to be right there in the face of it saying, let's fight. Come on, let's get after. Come on, you got something? Bring it on, brother. Bring it on, sister. I got you. Go ahead. I'm ready for war. I'm waging war. I'm a mighty man.
There's an intensity that's rising right now all around the world. There's a fresh anointing that is flooding into this place right now. There's a young person that's saying to himself, I can do this. One more point and then I'll be done. The Bible also says that it was a snowy day. It was a snowy day. And I'm coming to a close. Let's all stand. The Bible says that it was a snowy day. I began to study. And I began to wonder why that was so important. So you want to know, young person, you want to know, mom, dad, you want to know, brother, sister, when you're getting close to the lion, it's when you start to get cold. Young person, you start to get standoffish and mean when you hear preaching that's stepping on your toes. Mom, dad, you start to be cold to the call of God. You start to be stagnant to the call of God. Start to be casual. Things get cold all of a sudden. You see, the Word of God says it's that Holy Ghost and fire. And that fire is still burning hot today. That fire rejects the cold. That fire is what keeps young people that don't have parents come to church. It keeps them on the front row and it keeps them at an altar on their knees. That fire is what keeps Bible studies going when nobody else is teaching Bible studies. That fire is what keeps the grass mowed outside of the church when nobody else is here mowing the grass. That fire is what keeps this place clean. That fire is what runs that vacuum. That fire. But the very moment you start getting close to your lion in your life is when you start to feel that cold. But the moment that you feel that cold, you can begin to stir up the gift of God that's within you. I said you can begin to stir up that gift of God that's within you. You can begin to say, you know what? Today's my day. I'm ready to go hunt. Today's my time. Right now's my chance. I got to get that fire kindled up again. I got to get that fire started again. And when you begin to kindle that fire with your praise and with your worship, clapping your hands when nobody else is clapping, leaping for joy when nobody else is leaping for joy, shouting hallelujah when nobody else is shouting hallelujah, running the aisles even when you don't feel like it. Yeah, that's called the sacrifice of praise. Worshiping God when you don't feel like it. That's that fire beginning to get kindled up. Coming to Saturday night prayer, I can't think of a greater fire that you can have upon you than being in the house of God with the saints of God. That fire is what you're going to be able to carry, and you're going to bring it to your home, and you're going to say, you know what, it's getting a little bit cold in here. I got something to bring into this place. I'm going to turn up the heat a little bit. And you begin to pray, and then all of a sudden your house gets prayer conditioned, and then all of a sudden that fire falls from heaven and it begins to destroy those cold places. Right now God is calling us to be mighty men and to be mighty women, to step outside of what others might call ordinary and become extraordinary. I believe that God's already done an incredible work. I believe that the altars have already been filled and miracles, signs, and wonders have already happened. But I do want to do something right now. I wonder, as this song is being sung, this is not a time to be at the altar asking God, I need this, I need this, I need this. This is a time to kindle a fire. This is a time to kindle a fire. Come on, iron sharpens iron. Iron sharpens iron. But you know what happens when you sharpen iron? When you sharpen anything, you knock off the dull places. When you sharpen something, you chip away at some things. So that means that some parts of you are going to have to go. That means that those dull places are going to have to get knocked off. Ha ha. Come on. I said that means that those things that you've grown accustomed to for quite so long, and you said this is good enough, this is adequate, it's not good enough, it's not adequate. God wants you sharp. Iron sharpens iron. So you know what? As the song is being sung, I want somebody to begin to stir up the gift of God.
I'm gonna dance till the victory comes. I'm gonna claim my victory.
Come on, worship God. Worship God. Stir up that fire.
Troubles are over. I'm gonna dance till the victory comes. I'm gonna claim my victory in Jesus' name. Through Him the battle is won. Although the walls be 10 feet tall, I'm gonna praise Him till they fall. I'm gonna dance all over this house. Praise my Jesus to the world. Can't find a way. You wonder what the world you're gonna do. If you begin to shout God's praise, you'll find deliverance in this place. I'm gonna dance all over this house. I'm gonna praise my Jesus till the walls come down. I know the victory beyond my praise. I'm gonna dance my troubles away. I'm gonna dance all over this house. I'm gonna praise Jesus to the walls down. I know the victory beyond my praise. I'm gonna dance my troubles away. I'm gonna dance, shout unto the Lord. I'm gonna praise my Jesus like never before. I'm gonna dance, shout unto the Lord. I'm gonna praise my Jesus like never before. I'm gonna dance, shout unto the Lord. I'm gonna praise my Jesus like never before.
To the walls down. I know the victory beyond.
somebody shout, yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.